providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're going to stick to looking at some of the charts, but a bit more focused on the precious metals, as well as probably dive into the U.S. dollar, as we are now focusing the last two segments with Christopher Aaron, founder of iGold Advisor, also senior editor at the Gold Eagle website. Now, Christopher, we are recording this on Tuesday, actually, so earlier on in the week, but I do want to take a more big picture look at the precious metals, the way they're setting up, and it looks like, at least, the way they're going to close this year. One thing to consider, though, because we already have seen some volatility this week, which does surprise some people simply because it's a shortened trading week right before Christmas. A lot of people are away and we generally see lower volume. So sometimes volatility does catch people off guard, especially those that are watching the market, not so much those that are away taking a break from the markets. Let's start off with the volatility and the moves that you see during this week and next week, both shortened trading weeks. What matters to you? What do you discount in terms of these moves? How do you view the tail end of the year trading?
Yeah, thanks, Corey, and thanks, Chad, for having me back on the show. Hello to all the listeners. And what I would like to say is the backdrop for gold here has changed quite dramatically within the last 2 months. The situation for gold from a technical basis, which is how I approach this market, because we all know that gold can move lower despite positive fundamentals. You know, you can have negative interest rates and bailouts and everything going on under the sun, but gold can still move lower. So I look to say, what are the valid trends? What are the levels where the buyers are actually demonstrated to be entering the market? And let's just align with the market itself. So that said, what we see here for gold is that there was a very important 4.5 year rising trend out of the August 2018 lows around $1,180 per ounce in U.S. dollar terms for gold that showed a threatening breakdown in August and September of this year. And gold was coming under pressure as the Fed was hiking rates, and it was uncertain, you know, how long it would be that they would be hiking in this campaign. And here, just over the last 2 months, I mean, and especially since the last time we spoke, gold has done something very impressive and very constructive from at least an intermediate term perspective on the charts, which is to recover that breakdown that manifested in August and September. And when you recover a breakdown, it turns it into essentially a false breakdown on the charts. And a false breakdown or a false move in any direction tends to be the backdrop for a counter move in the opposite direction of the false move, which can sometimes be quite dramatic. And so, you know, it's like the market tricks people in one direction and then reverses, and the reversal move can take a lot of people by surprise. So in this case, what is developing, at least as we are speaking right here in the second to last week of December, is a recovery of that 4.5 year rising trend for gold. And that is quite bullish as we are speaking here right now. And I'm pleased to see that. And I wouldn't be saying that unless I actually saw it on the charts according to our model. And so where gold is now as we get into the end of the year is in a situation where it needs to prove that this recovery is going to be for real by holding above the key figure, which is $1,780, 8-0. $1,780 in the spot market is that recovery of the former trend out of the 2018 lows. Now, right now, gold is trading just below 1815 in the spot market. And so, you know, I am a little bit wary of calling a recovery solidified on an absolute basis, given these holiday short trading weeks. A lot of traders around the world. It's not just in the United States and Canada, but around the world, people tend to take off. I know I'm taking off some time over the next couple of weeks. We need to give this gold market through the first full trading week after the new year, through that first week after the new year. If gold can close, I mean, it basically, if gold can hold where it is now, but at the very minimum, close above 1780, then that will solidify the recovery of that trend out of the 2018 lows. And so at this moment, I encourage investors to kind of take a step back, let gold prove itself to us throughout these holidays. And when we get back here into the first week of the new year, if we're talking about gold above 1800, this is an all systems go type of signal for the next, at least the next 18 months for gold that one would want to be positioned aggressively for the upside.
Well, Christopher, that's an encouraging holiday message for the precious metals bulls. Now, let's just say that gold does hold its own and holds above that 1780 support and gets into the new year. What is your trajectory for where it may go? You'd mentioned to us off mic kind of a three-wave system you're looking at. I'd love you to map that out for investors of where it could potentially head if it does hold its own into the new year.
Yeah. So if gold can hold here, what we are forecasting for 2023 and let's say the first part of 2024, so the next 18 months, should be a three-wave structure. After some consolidation here in the first quarter of 2023, the next functional move, having recovered that trend out of the 2018 lows, is going to be a third functional test of the all-time highs for gold. Now, the exact all-time highs in the spot market were 2075 and 2070 in August 2020 and then February of 2022, respectively. So when I say a functional third test of the all-time highs coming up, I actually believe we will not get exactly to those all-time highs, but somewhere approaching the $2,000 figure will do it as far as a functional test of that resistance zone. You know, the spikes above those, that 2,000 level did not last all that long on the previous attempts. So somewhere in that range of the upper 1900s to 2000, late first quarter, early second quarter of 2023, we would then be looking at a failure. Markets typically do not break out on their third attempts, but they typically pull back, consolidate for a period of time. So we would see gold backing off second and third quarter of 2023. Perhaps back down to 1900, perhaps back down to the mid-1800s or so into the middle of the year. And then it would be the fourth attempt for gold at the 2075 level that should be successful. We're talking basically late 2023, and then that move continuing into 2024. We would then have a measured target for gold just as a forward-looking idea to keep in mind. Of course, this assumes that gold can hold here throughout the holidays above that 1780 figure. But, you know, just talking about where this market could go from a reasonable basis, it would be in the range of adding $400 onto the breakout point. And so we would be looking at gold in the range of 24 to 2500 if we can talk about first half of 2024 as a reasonable target. But again, let's take this market in chunks. Let's watch for the relative strength here by holding above the key level throughout the holidays. And then we can look to see whether or not in the first quarter of 2023, we indeed do get that move up for the third challenge of the functional all-time highs.
That is very true, right, Christopher? Take it one step at a time right here. Let's quickly just recap what happened this year with gold too, because gold dropped for, I believe, 7 straight months and now has rebounded for, as long as it closes higher this month, it'll be 2 months up, but it was a very quick recovery. How much is that 7-month drop, which was the worst performance in about 40 plus years, how much does that play into some of this at least near-term movement early on into next year?
You know what? I think what that move served to do was to really crush the psychology across the precious metals market. I saw, from someone who has a business investing in this sector and who's dealing with consultation clients, research clients, newsletter clients, et cetera, I saw one of the largest exoduses that I have seen since I've been doing this professionally now for almost 10 years and since I've been publishing research for almost 15 years in this 7-month drawdown. And, you know, I actually have started to think, you know, it's not just from my business. It's looking at readership statistics on free content that goes out, whether we're talking about articles that I may publish or articles that colleagues of mine are publishing, videos that get published. As you know, I am an editor for Gold Eagle, and I look at some of their readership statistics. We saw some of the largest drawdowns across the sector as far as interest in the sector over the last 7 months. And I would say that even though gold has recovered here approximately half of the decline over the previous 7 months, the psychology has not yet rebounded. And furthermore, what has not rebounded is the valuations in the gold mining equities. And if you think that, well, that drawdown in the psychology was sort of revealing as to how bullish precious metals investors are across the entire sector, it would make sense then that the money has not really started to flow back into all aspects of the sector. And so what I see here are certain companies that are sitting on defined assets. You know, we're talking, I'm not just talking exploration here, just hoping to find something, but I'm talking companies that are sitting on defined assets, 1 million or 2 million ounces of gold in the ground in the measured and indicated categories, that are trading at levels that were last seen in 2015, when gold was almost half the price that it is today, and we were at the end of a 5-year bear market. I'm seeing the same valuations across some of these development stage gold miners. And so, you know, just getting back to the original question, what I'm looking at right here is if gold can hold here over the next 3 weeks into the first week of 2023, I'm looking at this market as a dry tinder setup, that when the psychology shifts back to say, hey, this move in gold is real, and then the move in silver is going to be for real. I mean, the last time that some of these companies were trading at valuations that we see today, a lot of them moved. I'm not joking. A lot of them moved 10 to 15x. We're talking 1,000 to 1,500% off the lows. And I see a lot of very well-managed companies that I'm in touch with. I know management. I speak to them on the phone. I've evaluated their assets. You know, these are not scams or anything like that. I see a lot of companies that fit this category in the mining sector that have just suffered basically due to this psychology of the market. I mean, nothing is guaranteed in the investment world. Please don't take it to say that I'm saying anything is absolutely guaranteed. But from a risk to reward perspective, if one is saying, hey, you know, this move, this recovery in gold looks valid, and then therefore we do get the third challenge of the all-time highs setting up in 2023, and then we do get a new high into the mid-2000s, let's say 18 months from now, you know, reward to risk potential in some of the defined deposit companies that exist in this space is fantastic. It's as good as one could ask for if you're using your risk capital.
Yeah, Christopher, you nailed it there. I mean, the sentiment has been really bad in the sector, and it just got worse during that 7-month down plunge in gold. And the equities are at valuations that many haven't seen in over a decade, even when metals prices, like you say, were so much lower. But one of the things that's encouraging about the mining stocks is that they often track silver, strangely enough, closer than they track gold. If you look at GDXJ to silver, there's a very tight correlation. And in this particular move up in gold, we actually saw silver bottom earlier. It bottomed in early September at 1740. It's trading today in a range between 2425 and 2435, so about $7 higher. And it's been quite a move in silver, leading the pack. It bottomed first. It moved up first. The mining stock started following in late September. And gold didn't really bottom until the beginning of November and then finally ratchet higher by over $200. Are you encouraged by this move in silver? And what's your technical outlook for silver?
Yeah, I really am. The other thing that we are seeing is a breakdown in the gold to silver ratio as all of this is occurring, which is generally a positive signal for both metals. It's generally an inflationary signal when that ratio is moving lower. Right now, gold to silver ratio is at 75.5, and I have at least a measured target for that ratio of coming down to 67. It could come a lot lower than that over the following years. As you know, I just like to take things one step at a time and reassess after we get to the measured target. But turning back to the silver chart itself, gold is in the driver's seat still. Gold still is the one that needs to show itself, prove itself throughout these thinly traded holiday weeks here. We need to make sure that the bullion banks do not take the opportunity in the sort of thinly traded overnight hours on Christmas Eve and try to slam gold lower by $50 and set off a cascading waterfall type of move by leverage traders. Assuming that doesn't happen and gold can hold here, and that then we get the next wave higher unfolding into the first quarter of 2023, what that's telling me for silver then is that it is going to break the primary downward structure that has existed for the last 2 years now. The key resistance to break the structure of the lower peaks as things stand now, the series of lower peaks is going to be $25.15. That'll break the trend of the lower peaks. You'll then have a pivot that needs to be broken right around $26.90. From there, I mean, there will be another pivot that happens at 30, clearly that representing some pivot highs from 2020 and 2021. But what I see as far as the big waves for silver that should be unfolding, assuming gold holds here where it needs to hold, is a primary move up to the $35 mark. 35 represents significant swing peaks going back from 2011. There were actually three peaks, October of 2011, back to February of 2012, and then once again, September of 2012, three times that silver topped out, plus or minus the $35 level. So we would look for that on the highest probability to represent a pivot point. So basically what I would see unfolding here is as gold makes its third functional challenge of the all-time highs, let's say in the first half of 2023, I would see silver breaking this downward structure, perhaps a pause and a brief retracement at the $30 level, but that this wave takes silver into the $35 region. So a new high for this move setting up. From 35, I would be looking for some sort of a significant retracement, maybe back down to 30, maybe even back down to 26 or so, you know, a good of enough retracement to scare a lot of the hot money that chases toward the top of the move. From there, I would look for silver to stabilize for plus or minus 1 to 3 months. And then really big picture outlook. I mean, if gold is going to make a new all-time high in late 2023 into 2024, we just back the silver chart way up, you know, and look at it from the generational perspective, you know, talk about the 45-year perspective. And then clearly, this is the time when silver is targeting $50 once again, you know, as it did in 1980 and as it did in 2011. Is it going to blast through $50, you know, mid or late 2024? Again, I would say probably not immediately on that third attempt. I would look for something of a significant retracement from 50. You know, could we imagine coming from 50 all the way back down to 30, consolidating there for 18 months or so? And then we can talk about, hey, how healthy does this market look for a continuation move? But even in the move from, let's say here, let's say 24 back to 35, and then let's say a wave lower, and then the move from 30 back up to 50. A lot of the gold miners and the silver miners more closely track the price of silver. I think that has to do with kind of a psychological phenomenon where silver is considered a leveraged form of gold. And in a similar kind of way, the gold miners are considered a leveraged form of gold. And of course, then the silver miners are a leveraged form of both of those. But so I think even in the move from mid-20s to 35, and then the next wave, should we be correct, and this is the move that silver is going to make a third functional test of $50 silver, I mean, I think some of the moves that are going to occur here in the silver miners are going to be real wealth producing over the next 1 to 2 years. Again, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's make sure gold can hold where it needs to here. There's a recovery that I want to see on the GDX itself. I want to see the GDX recover 31.5. That was key resistance dating back to 2016. That was served as key support for about 2 years. It did break down through that level in August, September of this year. It thus far has failed to recover that. So gold is in the leadership role here. I want to see GDX recover 31.5 sometime after the new year. We get those signals, and I think it's then all systems go on silver and all the silver miners.
All right, Christopher. Well, that would be a finally I told you so moment for a lot of the precious metals believers that have been in the market and quite frankly have suffered through a lot of other bull markets, but precious metals kind of left behind. It would be their term, their time to finally run. Let's talk U.S. dollar then, because the turnaround in the U.S. dollar timed almost perfectly with the turnaround in the precious metals as well. And it's been a pretty substantial fall from almost that 115 level on the dollar index down to under 105 in a matter of 2 months-ish. How does the dollar play into this generally more optimistic look for the precious metals?
Yeah, so as you just said, Corey, the recovery in gold here thus far and the recovery in silver has occurred with this quite significant drop in the US dollar index falling over 10 points in the last 2 months. So it makes sense, you know, that we have seen these recoveries in the metals themselves. We just gave the backdrop. We just discussed here that gold needs to prove itself by holding above 1780 through these key holiday weeks coming up. Now, simultaneously, the U.S. dollar is due for a recovery rally. It had come back 10 points. There is very strong support for the U.S. dollar in the region between 102 and 103 on the dollar index. And right now, it has come back to 104. So very strong support dating back for about 6 years. Former broken resistance in that level around 102, 103. It's come back. It's retesting that. The model says that former resistance, once broken, should act as support. So if the dollar is going to stabilize here, and in fact, the next move should be higher for the dollar, gold absolutely has its work cut out for it immediately ahead of us. And so what's going to be really impressive here is if gold, this is what I think is setting up. The dollar is going to rally over the next 3 months. There could be some sort of a worldwide currency crisis brewing. It could be relating to what's happening out of the Bank of Japan, Japan having to abandon its yield curve control for the short-term Japanese bonds and having to move the range that they will accept for yields higher. So you could be seeing a flight out of Japanese yen, flight out of Japanese assets into the U.S. dollar. Could be something brewing out of Europe, maybe some contagion with the war in Ukraine. Let's see. Let's wait for the fundamentals to fill themselves in. But I can tell you what I see on the charts, which is that there should be this inflow coming into the U.S. dollar here over the next 3 months. So if gold is going to be able to hold, it needs to do it in spite of the U.S. dollar rising. So what I can see happening here as a scenario, what the charts are telling me right now is that if the dollar is going to indeed rise back up to 110, 115 here over the next few months, the move in gold should be a relative outperformance compared to some of the risk assets, compared to general stocks, you know, Dow, S&P 500, maybe compared to cryptocurrencies, compared to some of the industrial commodities. Gold should hold up on a relative basis. On a nominal basis, on an absolute basis, gold may simply move sideways here for the next 1 to 3 months. And in fact, we discussed this, nothing could be more constructive from a chart perspective, because then we would be recovering that 4.5 year trend simply by moving sideways. And so the theme that's developing here is some sort of a currency crisis developing in one of the world's developed economies that sees an inflow into the US dollar, a relative inflow to gold, but the relative strength basically sees gold moving in more of a consolidative fashion as risk assets are falling. That entire scenario, though, setting the stage for a larger move in gold to come more like mid to late 2023 and into 2024.
All right, Christopher, thank you for breaking this down. A very straightforward outlook for next year, some levels to watch, and a bit of optimism for the precious metals investors. Boy, oh boy, what a different world, what a different market it would be for those investors next year, considering what everyone went through this year. And again, it's not the all clear yet, but it has been an encouraging end to the year, at least so far. Christopher, thank you for taking time on this weekend show. Everybody, thanks for tuning in on Christmas Eve. For everyone celebrating Christmas, a Merry Christmas to you tomorrow. Everyone else, happy holidays. We will be back with you next week in what undoubtedly will be a, well, shortened trading week, low volume, but who knows, we might see some volatility. Everyone, thanks again for tuning in. Have a great rest of your weekend.